Yeah. Yeah.
That's what you should be making. That kind of noises you should be making wearing that mask right now.
I'm the Hulk.
Yeah. It's going to be a hokey show. I'm all pumped up and ready for our guest.
Oh, Lordy.
Hey there, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. It's another episode of Not Too Taboo. I'm here with my lady love, She-Hulk, Gretchen Christine Rossi, wearing her, what is that mask made of?
You know what? You're working on your physical body, and I'm working on my skin body. There you go. I'm working on my skincare.
I should be working on my inner beauty, and you're working on your outer beauty? Is that what you meant to say?
No, because you kind of need some help on both the out and the
in. Okay, you suck.
No, but I do, you guys. I have like this face mask on right now, and it's like I literally look like the Hulk. Like it's green.
I do not know how people will take us seriously.
It's so funny. It's like green. I'm so grateful that podcasts are like video, that it's actually just sound, because if people
camera with our guest right now.
If people saw half the times of what I look like, they would be legitimately scared. It would be sketch. Babe, I'm really excited about today. Like, I really am excited.
I'm more excited.
I don't know. I feel like you probably are very excited because you feel like you finally are going to get some help.
No, I'm straight up excited because I straight up stalked our guest.
Oh, great.
Join us for his expertise. So I'm like beyond excited to introduce this individual. I especially requested him too. I mean, like I went out looking for
him. Like you really did seek him out. I kind of like the story.
No, he'll probably tell you the story.
Okay.
He's a personal trainer. He's a group trainer. He's a certified nutritionist, a wellness coach, a motivational speaker, and author of best-selling book, Make Over Your Metabolism, which of course I need to do.
We all need to do that.
He's been the head trainer and nutritionist for the Dr. Phil show for 18 years and counting. He's been the trainer for the biggest weight loss challenges in daytime TV history.
That's amazing.
He is the man when it comes to health, fitness, well-being. Please welcome Mr. Robert Reeves.
Wow. Thank you. Oh, that's a heck of an intro. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Well deserved, my friend.
I know.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Look, I'm seeing him on camera now, and behind him it says metabolism. Fix your metabolism.
Oh, I love my gosh. Yeah. Robert, we're
I always make sure that's in the screen. You know, it's kind of like, you know, it's like my backup singer. You know what I mean? It's like that's...
Exactly. No, Robert, we're like really excited to have you here today. Thank you so much for taking your time out to not only help us, but to help so many of our guests. I know that, you know, there's a lot of people that struggle with weight up and down and all of that stuff. And, you know,
especially
through the pandemic, I think a lot of us were like kind of like all of a sudden looked in the mirror and were like, oh, my, like what happened? Like, you know, how they call it the freshman 15 when you go to college. Like, I legit feel like that happened for everybody across the country.
Yeah, but mine's like COVID 25, though.
I like to term it as the pandemic 25.
Yeah.
That's what I am. I'm the pandemic 25.
Yeah. It was weird, even for myself. Like, you don't even realize how much you really... We're sitting a lot, you know, like not doing a lot.
You
really couldn't go a lot of places. Nothing was open. Gyms weren't open. Just all these things that were happening during the pandemic it just snuck up. And not to mention that I think a lot of us were a little stressed out. This was something we've never experienced.
All of us are stressed out. There was no way not to be stressed.
Yeah. But meaning like it's something we've never, ever experienced before. So I think that a tendency is to maybe overeat or do things that you typically wouldn't do during, you know, moments like that. So, so before we get started, Robert, I want our audience to know a little bit more about you, why you're even like do what you do, what motivated you to kind of get started on this path of, you know, really helping other people.
Well, it really all started when it started as a kid, because I grew up as a heavy kid. I don't know if you've seen some of my past pictures. I struggled with weight as a kid, probably basically between the ages of 10 and 16. And then as a young adult, actually, and still until I really got into the industry, I actually used to, my first gig in the fitness field was as a group aerobics instructor back in the 80s. You know, I was the male Jane Fonda, if you will.
I love it.
I was going to say, were you competing against Richard Simmons?
Well, I guess I actually met him one time. That's probably for another show, but I met him one time. So I actually worked for a show. I was assistant to the producer for a health and fitness talk show called Alive and Well when I first moved to LA. So, but I was an aerobics instructor, but it really all started because of my weight issues as a kid and what I went through, mm-hmm. which was mostly, you know, it's a lot of that stuff's mental. You know, yeah. I was the kid that got made fun of on the playground. And, you know, unfortunately for the kids that made fun of me, though, I was very fast because I was very athletic. Oh. So I, between athletics and being heavy as a kid, it just kind of propelled me into, it was destiny. I came to LA and I just started in the fitness industry, and I've been in it now going on 38 years.
Wow. You're in your 18th season as the head trainer, nutritionist, and lifestyle consultant mm-hmm. for the Dr. Phil show. You know, like you wouldn't yep. be there and you wouldn't be doing that if it wasn't for all those things that you just said. So
exactly. And, you know, that 18 years also, I wouldn't be there if I didn't bring the show results. I mean, Dr. Yeah. Phil and Robin have been absolutely incredible to me. They've given me a wonderful opportunity, and I do not take that for granted. Right. So it's my job to bring home the results.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. And we're going to bring home those results to you, Slade Smiley.
Bring it home, baby. Bring it home.
Thanks,
bring
baby.
It home. Yeah, yeah.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Before we talk about my cortisol issue, let's have Robert kind of break down for us too. I want to talk a little bit about the model.
Yeah.
Right. Our big four of life. Mm-hmm. We want to get into that a little bit so that people can kind of embrace the concept behind what you're doing. And then we'll talk about my issues.
Well, here's the thing. I broke this model down years ago, and it applies to everybody. It applies no matter what, who you are, where you're from, what you do, what your abilities are or what they're not. The big four applies to everybody. And these are four aspects of life that are part of all of our lives. Number one is optimum exercise. Mm-hmm. Number two is optimum nutrition. Mm-hmm. Number three, proper rest. And number four, which ultimately becomes a combination of what you're doing with the first three, stress management. Now, these four aspects that are part of all of our lives, they work independently and they work synergistically to really kind of determine not only our physical bodies and you know, our energy and all that, but really who we are and the eyes that we see from. They determine our perspectives. So because if I'm under-rested and I'm not eating right, I'm putting poor fuel in my system, I'm not moving, I'm sitting around, I'm just not going to be running at peak levels. But if I can do my personal best and what I encourage the people I work with to do, if I can achieve my best or my best effort, and because, you know, and those achievements, they have ebbs and flows because life happens. I like to say life happens. That's one of my quotes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, things happen that you can't always be at your peak. But if you just really have the effort to make the best of those, then you will be running at the best peak levels or the optimum peak levels that you can be operating at. And when you're operating at peak levels, your health and your wellness and, you know, this, you know, I like to take this beyond weight control. I mean, weight and everything, but, you know, weight control and weight loss and weight management, it's really a result of the foundation of your health and wellness and the efforts that you put forth towards it. So it's kind of, you know, weight loss and weight control is really kind of a fringe benefit or a byproduct of just taking good care of yourself.
Yeah.
I'm really into number three.
Proper. Yeah. Oh, geez. Well, of course number you are three, because we don't get a lot of that with the newborn baby. You know what I mean? Well,
yeah, she's not newborn. Number three.
We can't get away with that anymore. We can't get away with that anymore because she's not a newborn. But yeah,
that's a tough one. And people don't, you know, people, you know, it's funny, over the years, you know, I work with a lot of different people, and, you know, I work with some type A executive type folks that think that they, you know, there's kind of insurmountable or, you know, infallible. And they're, oh, I get 4 or 5 hours.
I know.
Of sleep.
I hear this all the time from these guys.
Yeah.
I know.
And they wear it like a badge.
Yeah, they like, wear it like,
sort of
like a badge. I'm up at 4 a.m.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I got news for you.
Yeah.
You can't survive on that. You're running on fumes. You're running on adrenaline. And most people do burn out on that, on that kind of operation level. But unless, you know, and this is a whole nother show. I've done segments on this before. There's something called the DEC2 gene that a few people have. Mm. It's very, very rare, but the DEC2 gene actually allows a person, they can actually survive and thrive well on 3 or 4 hours of sleep.
Really?
It's unusual, but people do have it. And I know a few people, I'm sure you guys do too. There are people, there are a handful of people that can function on little sleep, but for the most part, for, you know, us mortals, you know, it's like you need sleep. You need sleep because the body needs recovery. And it you heal during sleep. And if you're not sleeping well, you're not healing. You're not recovering.
Yeah.
And I certainly don't have that gene.
No, you actually need, do
me
pretty
neither,
good.
Slade. I don't either, man.
Well, I definitely don't have it, but you actually do pretty good. Like, you'll still be able to get up and function. Like, I will walk into walls. Like, I can't, like, even, like, get my right foot in front of my left foot if I don't have at least 8 hours of sleep. Like, I really struggle if it's less than 8 hours. Like, it's really bad for me. You can actually get up and still function, babe, and still, like, form a sentence.
Yeah, but I'm 19 years old. Look at me.
I know. You look fantastic, man. You look freaking awesome.
So oh,
except
my
for the,
God.
Except for the Dunlap's disease, I'm good.
So take us through, because, you know, let me tell you the truth. Like, anybody listening, Robert, they're going to be like, just to review again, it's optimum exercise, optimum nutrition, proper rest, stress manage it. And everyone's like, ah, crap, I'm screwed. Because, like, I fail epically in all of these areas, right? It's, right. You know, just me looking at this, I'm like, whoa, that's a lot. So walk us through a little bit of each one of these things and talk to us a little bit more about, you know, what that means exactly and how people really can implement that into their daily life.
Well, yeah, because what I would like to do is have him give a description for each one of these if we can, because if I'm out there listening, right, and I know I try to exercise a little or I do my best to eat right, but maybe I'm not quite getting there. Like, for me, could you explain to me optimum exercise? What is your definition of optimum exercise? That'd be the first thing.
Okay. I'm going to answer that, but I want to preface this really quickly. The folks listening out there, look, this is a format and a model. And if you were really doing this, you wouldn't need to hear me or you wouldn't need a coach.
Yeah.
So I want everybody like to say, look, give yourself a break. You know, this big four, it's something to shoot for. It's a model to go by. It's a format. But hey, listen, I work with people. I'm not a browbeater. I give information and people have to come and, you know, cause a lot of people listening right now, the big four, they're like, huh? They would never know to put these four aspects together. So I want everybody just from the get-go, give yourself a break. This is something you're tuning in, learn from this and just do the best you can with it. And it's going to take on different ebbs and flows as the course of life and different things happen in your life. So, exercise, look, as far as metabolism, exercise is, first of all, it's finding something that you like to do and that you're good at, or something that you dislike to do the least. I always say that because some people just don't like exercise. I mean, they don't like it.
I kind of like that.
Something
you dislike the least.
Exactly. Because, you know, look, I'll come clean here. I exercise every single day. I don't always look forward to it, but I know it's part of what I am and what I do. And it's just something that I do that the downside of not doing it is worse than some days when I just don't feel like doing it. So, you gotta somewhat like what you do. You gotta be good at it, because if you're not good at it, you're not going to really, you're not going to thrive at it, and so you're not good at something, you're just not going to keep it up. So, ultimately, you know, throughout the word metabolism again, I mean, metabolism is something I describe as if you read the book, it's called the engine of life. Metabolism is the engine of life. And what you're trying to do with all this big four and with exercise is to try to get your engine to be running at optimum levels. So exercise is like something I always have people do when I work with them personally, or if they, you know, ask me for consultation, or if I'm recommended in an interview or whatever, if I do a presentation, I talk about strength training. And a lot of people think like, oh man, exercise, I got to go to a gym. I got to get on the treadmill. I got to find a bike. I got to invest in equipment. I got to go to the, you know, I got to do something that's inconvenient for me.
Right.
And you don't, and I'll get to that in a second, but strength training, muscle dictates metabolism. You have got to build and maintain active, lean, fat burning muscle in order to have your body running at a peak level. So, and this is not about being a bodybuilder, and not at all. Simple circuit training. I mean, my own personal weight workouts are maybe 15 minutes long in a given day. I get in, I get it done. I don't lift heavy. I lift for stamina. I lift for just to be in really good shape, keep my body balanced. But I'm not a bodybuilder, and I, you know, and you don't have to be. So strength training, free weights, bands, machines, body weight, whatever you have access to, and you know, find a coach. This is one of them where I'll say, look, invest in yourself for at least once to get a professional to help you with your roadmap and help you with form and help you with some kind of a format for sets and reps for your given level and your given abilities and what you have access to. Strength training is really, really important. And the other thing about it is just, you know, again, you don't have to join a gym. You don't have to have big expensive equipment. Just move, move, bend, stretch, get out of the chair, get off the couch. Because we as humans, we are predispositioned for movement. We are genetically made for movement. We're not made to, you know, we're not made to sit around. We're not made to sit at a desk for 8 hours. We're not meant to lay around and on the couch and eat. What is that going to do for you? Now, when I say that as a move, again, just move, do what you can do. You don't have to be an athlete. You don't have to be an Olympic athlete. Do what you can do. This is all about finding your level and optimizing it. Because I've worked with people over the years that literally a workout, and I have a few people that like this right now through injuries and illness, that going to the mailbox is a big frigging feat.
Right, right.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
So you've got to find, that's kind of a long answer to the exercise questions, Slade, but that's really what it comes down to. Find something you like to do, be consistent with it, lift weights, build muscle, move, stretch, and bend, and you'll do it.
You know, and something I want to add to that, Robert, is this has been at least my experience throughout the years. And Slade used to make fun of me. He'd come down, and I'd be like in the kitchen, and I'd have like a weight while I'm like stirring the pot of spaghetti. He's like, "What are you doing?" Right? Or I'd like, we'd be on a trip, and I'd like have the lamp, and I'd be like using the lamp to like
for bicep curls,
for like bicep curls, and he's like, "You're the weirdest person I've ever met." But honestly, I always encourage, like even on social media, I always tell people, they're like, how do you keep up with working out? Doing? I'm like, I don't. It's not like that. It's like, I literally, if I have 10 minutes, if I have 5 minutes, I go for a walk. And while I'm at the park with Sky, I'll do lunges across the park. Or
there you go.
I have my bands and I'll just do that for 5 minutes or whatever, 10 minutes, whatever it is, wherever it fits in. And for those people out there that are like, I could never afford a trainer or something like that. There is so much access nowadays through apps and through all these things that you can do through your phone. I mean, lately I've been using an app just at home, and I don't have to have any weights. I don't have to have anything. It's all my own body weight. And it literally is less than 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And it's always when Sky goes down for a nap, and that's when I'm doing it. And I just started, but it's really amazing what a difference that can be to just move a little bit.
Well,
it's
but I, and I have to give you, I give her major props, because we literally will be talking about a project. She'll come into the room. I'm like, hey, I need to talk to you. She comes in literally in the middle of our conversation, gets down on the floor. She's like, dude, knock out 20 sit-ups.
There you go. You know,
it doesn't even trip up a beat.
You know, right. And that's great. That's great. And the benefit, I'm going to tell you something, the legitimate benefit of something like that is we call it burst training or sprint training. I mean, even 30 seconds of just, you know, 20 seconds of just some good vigorous activity, you know, spread throughout the day. I mean, that's huge. And that's been shown in the research to be quite effective. So
Robert and I are launching a new program. It's called Fit in 15.
Fit in 15 seconds. I love it. No, but I just say that because I want to encourage people, because a lot of, like I was saying, Robert, a lot of these things people are like, I can't do that. And it's like, really, you guys, give yourself some grace, as Robert was saying. Mm-hmm. Don't like overwhelm yourself. Just start doing a little bit here and there every day. And then you'll find you'll start craving it. Your body will start wanting it. The endorphins that are released, all the things that happen for you, mm-hmm. you'll start wanting to do it, and you just start to grow the strength. Because
your body hungers for it.
Absolutely. But you know, let me tell you something, and everybody listen, I want you to know this. There's you decide to do something right now, go out and move. I if you feel worse than you do before you made that decision, I'd be very, very surprised.
Yeah.
Anybody knows that the movement, it's like it just makes you feel better. And it's just so important for people to know, just do what to focus on. And I have this kind of philosophy throughout everything in life, but focus on what you can do and not what you didn't do. That's really what it comes down 100%. To because it's like, you know, don't beat yourself because you didn't do it. Just get up, do it. Don't, you know, the past yesterday's done. You got right now, get up, start moving, get up, march in place for 5 seconds and sit back down in the chair and sit up nice and tall. You know,
that's what I say.
So true. Okay, I'm excited about number two.
Okay.
Which is this optimum nutrition. I think this is so smart.
I love that it says that you never have people count calories. Thank the good Lord.
Never done it.
So stressful. So talk to us about that.
Well, I've never, and I say that because that's a whole nother show. But, not kind of count. I've never had anybody count calories. Now, if somebody wants to count calories, I don't discourage it. But, calories, I go, and again, most of the research will point in this direction. I work off properties of foods because calories are measure of energy. It's not a measure of really the comprehensive effect of what it's doing once you take it into your system. So my nutrition model is really, really simple, and it's very flexible, and it's very doable. I call it plate structure. And all it is I take a 10.5-inch diameter standard plate. And that's a plate we either all have in our cupboards, we all sit down to dinner with it, we go to a restaurant, we go to a party, wherever we are, we're pretty much always going to be eating off a 10.5-inch standard plate. And I just teach people how to optimally fill that plate. And I'll give you an example. Okay. So let's say lunch. Okay. For lunch, you take a look at your plate, you look down at that plate, and you have 1/3 of it is a protein source. 1/3 of it is a high fiber starch source. And everybody that visualize this as you're looking at your plate, the other third is a non-starchy high fiber vegetable source. If you look at that triad, protein could be whatever you like to eat, shrimp, pork, beef, halibut, lamb, whatever you like. That high fiber starch could be quinoa, could be brown rice. It could be a high fiber, high protein, gluten-free pasta. It could be a high fiber piece of bread or a high fiber protein tortilla. The vegetable portion could be, now cruciferous and higher fiber vegetables are your best choices. So it could be broccoli, it could be cauliflower, it could be spinach, it could be green beans, it could be asparagus, it could be tomatoes, it could be peppers, it could be a combination of all. And if you folks look at my Instagram, I love, you know, it's taken off like crazy. I never was on Instagram until like, I never even paid attention to it until like last fall. And it's growing like crazy. And people love, I take a picture of most all of my meals and I post them.
Oh, they love that. That's their favorite.
And it gives people ideas, but it's all based on that plate structure. Now that's a lunch. Cool. Yeah, that's a lunch. Now notice in that lunch, I said starch. Now in the evening meal, if you took that plate structure again, you would have your protein and I would say a single or a double serving of the non-starchy vegetables only.
Right.
Because you don't need the starch at night. You're not going to burn it off. So your evening meal is all about kind of winding down and, you know, getting ready for restful sleep. So this is a model. Again, you take a look at that model, that plate, and you can fill it with anything you want, pretty much, other than sugar. Now, processed sugar, you know, everybody knows this. Processed sugar and sugar by itself that is the enemy of weight control. Mm-hmm. And everybody needs to know that you sugar is the real culprit. When people, you know, it raises your insulin rapidly, and the whirlwind is that it causes your body to store fat rapidly and consistently. You know, all the things I'm talking about here, what I'm not talking about in this plate structure is putting, you know, some Skittles on your plate or whatever.
Gretchen's
into the Skittles.
I know. I'm so upset.
It's tough.
I have like a whole section of that plate for sugars.
I know. You were thinking like, God, he's going to say sugar at one of those components, right? Right.
Yes.
No. Now, let me
a carbohydrate.
But here's the thing though. Here's the thing. You can have, and it's very, very important for people to know, fruit is nature's candy. Now, fruit has sugar. Fruit has fructose. I mean, that's sugar.
Yeah.
But what's happening with fruit is it is accompanied with a generous amount of fiber. And what I will say, mm-hmm. like, for example, a snack in my model will be like a handful of berries or an apple mm-hmm. with, you know, an apple slice with the skin or a pear slice with the skin, because, again, that's where the fiber is. With a handful of pecans or almonds or walnuts or pistachios, because here's what happens. That sugar from the fruit has the fiber with the fruit, then it has the protein, the good fat, and more fiber from the nut. So that insulin response that takes off like a rocket when you just pour pure sugar in your system, that's really kind of taken away. And now you have that balanced blood sugar, so you're not raising that insulin, and you're not storing that fat as a result of that sugar consumption. But the antithesis of that is like a candy or a cake or processed, you know, pastries or whatever like that. I mean, everybody knows this intellectually, but sometimes you got to think about, like, here, what's the mechanism that makes that so bad? It's because it raises your insulin rapidly, and it makes your body a fat storer, and you want your body to be a fat burner. And that's what the plate structure does, because they are balanced meals that keep you fuller longer, keep your blood sugar balanced, and they keep your body running at optimum levels.
So why does like orange rolls that Slade made last night at 12 p.m. taste really good?
What were they? Orange rolls?
Gretchen,
orange cinnamon rolls. This dude busted out at like 11 o'clock last night p.m. I'm like, you
did you just
me.
Out me to my new trainer?
Totally. Oh, you were so busted.
I would tell you, if somebody asked me, God, Rob, how do I gain weight? I'd tell him to do that.
By the way, I think there was like six on your plate, buddy. So, okay, listen up, Chubba Wubba over across the table.
I'm gonna assume that the whiskey and coke and the cigar I had before the orange rolls was bad too.
oh man,
we went out to dinner with friends last night. We had way too much food and way too much fun. Stuff.
Yeah. Let's have an after dinner drink. Hey, smoke a cigar. I'm like,
but no, but seriously,
I'm not a smoker.
I know, right? But seriously, Robert, I do want to ask something though, because mm-hmm. for instance, women, we have a monthly friend that shows up and like, we want chocolate. We want whatever.
Yeah.
So like, what is your stance on that? Are you really like no sugar ever, ever, ever? Or like, where do you stand on that? Do you have any like bend in that or not really?
It really depends on the person, the individual. I mean, if the individual has a sugar addiction, I'm going to try to really curtail that and help them to get that out of their lives.
Yeah.
If it's a person that's really, really consistent on that big four, they're exercising, they sleep well, they manage their stress. Hey, every once in a while, a treat. That's not a big deal. And actually, you know, our bodies are really meant genetically for an occasional feast or occasionally. I don't like to call them cheat meals, because I think it's really part of the process of like, you need a big meal every once in a while. Hey, a little sugar, not a bad thing. Dark chocolate, especially if it's 70% of cocoa or above, is actually, I mean, the health benefits. I just did another interview with a company I'm working with called Echelon Fit. And we did a segment on that, because it was around Valentine's Day. And it was like, dark chocolate, if it's 70% or above cocoa, that's antioxidant.
It's good for you.
Anti-inflammatory, magnesium, manganese. It's really good for you. But look, to go to CVS and pick up a pure chocolate bar that's loaded with sugar and take it all down and then do that every day.
Yeah, bad for you.
That's what I'm going to say. Well, you know what? You're doing yourself any favors. But hey, look, I'm when I talk about the model I use, I think the reason it's so successful is because if you remember one of the first things I said was that it's flexible. Mm-hmm. And it is flexible, and it's really up to what you do most of the time, not all the time. Because look, if we have to be restricted, we're not going to do that. I don't do that. But I'm on track. If I get off track, I get right back on the track, and that's the most important thing, is to minimize those off track times. If you can do that, you're really successful. So yeah, sugar, a little sugar every once in a while, not a big deal.
I love my dark chocolate at night. After my meal. Like I need to have like a couple pieces of my dark chocolate. Like if I'm going to do anything, that's what I will do.
It's always dark chocolate.
Every now and again, I'll do something stupid, like have a donut or something. But that's like every now and again. That's like not consistent at all.
Okay, well, it's time to talk about me.
So we talked about proper rest and then obviously stress management. You know, I mean, that's a big, you know, part of this, but like, what would you give as some pointers on that before we move into how you're going to help Slade?
Well, here's the thing with stress management. Stress really is a product of the first three aspects of the big four. If you're exercising appropriately and consistently, you're eating well, you're putting really good fuel into your system, and you're getting proper rest, then your fuse for stress is a lot longer. Your fuse is longer.
That's true. Yeah.
But if you're under-rested, you eat like crap, and you don't move, and you don't bend, stretch, or lift, your fuse is about really, really minimized. And boy, it takes you just a little bit. Boom, something can knock you off, and you're like, you're frantic. You get pissed off really fast. You don't have any patience and your fuse is just really short. So stress management really, again, it becomes try to take care of yourself as best as you can. And also just try to, I mean, stop and smell the roses, because I said earlier in the interview, you got to think about sometimes stress management is about, because we get trapped into focus about what we don't have or what we don't do. Yeah. Give yourself credit about what you do have. And what you do, and take the load off yourself, take the pressure off yourself. Stress is pressure. It's self-induced. It's perspective. And you got to find ways to alter or change your perspective into a more positive kind of like, I'm in control. I'm good. I'm doing the best I can kind of perspective. I hashtag perspective on probably all of my any kind of post. And I talk about perspective when I work with people, because perspective is everything.
Yes.
Perspective is how you see yourself in your world and in the world. Mm-hmm. And if you're constantly not enough or not doing enough, you're always going to be stressed.
Yeah.
Because you're putting pressure on yourself. And most stress comes from ourselves. Mm-hmm. Really?
I totally agree.
And that's a broad explanation. Yeah. There are, I mean, look, loss, grief, depression, all these things. I mean, that's stress.
Yeah.
And that's just something that we, you know, we've all had to deal with, and that's up to the individual, and you got to do the best you can with that. But even with all that, if you're taking good care of yourself, you're going to get through it better.
Yeah.
If you just, you know, I mean, that's kind of a short, long version or explanation of stress management, but it's perspective. It really is. Yeah.
No, it's so true. I think that's really important. We talk about that all the time on here about, you know, having gratitude journals and like really just changing your perspective and your mindset and how much of a difference that can make in your daily life. So
My perspective is my pants don't fit anymore.
So Robert, let's talk about Slade. Really, I think, I mean, you touched on so many of these things, but you know, I mean, the truth is that we work so much. We had the baby, like we had a lot of, you know, life things, as we said earlier, happen. And so we're really trying to get back on track. So like, what would you, is basically those big four.
You hold on a second.
What?
This is my problem.
Okay, good.
Because there's a big part of this problem that you're not talking about.
Oh.
Okay.
What, sleep?
No.
Oh.
No, the basics of what he's spoken about is super important for people to understand, I think, an overall structure of the way you should get on track and start looking at elements in order to maintain proper balance, because everything's balanced. Mm-hmm. What I want to do is talk to the aging demographic. Mm-hmm. And the reason I bring this up is because here's...
Because you're old.
My wife is hilarious.
You're part of, what's it called? AARP?
Yeah, I got my AARP card. So she likes to rub that in my face.
I love
that
it.
That I qualify for AARP.
So funny.
Which I absolutely love them, and we welcome them as a sponsor to the show.
Yeah, exactly.
The reason I'm bringing this up is because I think, again, our listeners, your fans, not mine, you know, I think are in... And what would be an aging demographic, right?
Well, so, some of them, not all of them.
Not all of them, but I'm just saying that this is something to consider because, so a quick background on me, I have enough knowledge to be super dangerous. I have competed at the professional level as a cyclist.
Oh, wow.
So I've been an athlete most of my life.
Yeah.
And that training that I received when I was a lot younger there had a lot to do with physiology, obviously nutrition, all of these things, but it has changed. It has evolved, right? Because the science of the human body, our physicality, all these things have evolved greatly, which is why this continuing education is so important. And what we know about people's metabolism and how they burn calories has changed. Everyone's different. The way my body burns is different than Gretchen's. So the fact that you don't count calories makes a lot of sense, right? Because everyone's consumption is different. Their burn rate is different. Their movement, amount of exercise, all of those things have to be taken into account. You can't just count calories.
Yep.
So this is why I love your program.
Your body's like a big, it's not a calculator. It's a big processing plant.
Exactly.
It takes on different aspects under different circumstances.
Yep, absolutely. So here's really what has happened with me. And I've seen a lot of this stuff for guys my age where they're saying, hey, look, are your arms and your legs and most of your body still physically fit? But you're starting to see weight gain around the middle, weight gain around the back. Mm-hmm. Is there a, you know, issue with low T, testosterone? Is there an issue?
I love how you say that like it's a secret code. Low T.
This is how men describe it as low T.
I've never heard that. Is that really what's called low T, Robert? Did you know what he meant when he said that? You did?
That's exactly what it's called.
Absolutely.
Okay. And then there's, I'm right. He'll tell you. And then there's also cortisol.
Yeah.
Which is a part of stress. And so when in cortisol, basically, you know, excess estrogen, right, in the body, men start to store that.
Is that why you have man boobs? I'm sorry. I couldn't help it.
It's, it is brutal. And
by the way, Robert, let me tell you, listen to this, Robert. Last night, this is what this guy does as we're going to bed. He's like, I have man boobs. I'm like, no, you do not have man boobs.
I got man boobs.
Right. No, but listen, I go, Slade, you do not have man boobs. He's like, I think I have man boobs. I think it's because I have low testosterone. I have man boobs. I was like, you do not have man boobs.
It's true. But see, it's a ramification. It's an age thing. It's a stress thing, lack of recovery. And I think I have excess cortisol and estrogen, which is causing me to gain around the middle.
Okay.
So let's talk to our professional.
Right. That said, absolutely everything you're saying can be true.
Aha!
But one question, and I want to analyze that because I think that's really important for people to know, because that's part of when I talk about people being a optimally functioning machine, hormones run the show.
Yeah.
Hormones run the show. Yeah, so that's something that like you could be knocking yourself out doing what you think is the right thing and you're not.
Yep.
And you're digging yourself in a deeper hole. And that's why people need guidance.
Yes.
So, I was going to say, first thing I would ask you, Slade, when's the last time you had a strength training session?
Sorry.
When's the last time you picked up a weight?
Story. I just have to know. Okay, wait, Robert, I have to tell you a quick story.
She's just plain mean.
Like 2 years ago. Oh my God, I died. I swear to God. He's like, okay, I'm going to get into strength training, da, da, da. Like he was so pumped about it, right? And here's me, supportive wife, of course, you know, and I used to personal train and all the stuff. So I'm like, yeah, he always rides his bike, but I always tell him it's really important for the weight training. So the guy goes and buys legitimately every piece of equipment you could possibly think to buy. He goes and buys the Smith machine. He buys a boxing bag. He buys like literally every week a new delivery was coming to the front door. And I was like, what in the serious hell do you need this for? I mean, every single piece of equipment you could possibly know. We turned the entire garage into a gym and he goes out there and uses it like one time. And I'm like, You are so crazy. And I even said to him, I go, stop buying equipment. Like, you're not going to use that. He's like, yes, I am. Yes, I am. And then he never did. And bless his heart, you know, the thing I love about Slate is he really gets an A for effort because he like bought everything
you
to do
it. You suck so bad
no,
right
but
now.
Here's the thing.
You tell him the truth.
No, but the truth is that in fairness, you don't, you didn't necessarily know what to do. So then I started coming out and showing you right form. And
but
what
tell
to do.
Him the truth.
What's the truth?
What is the garage right now?
Well, now it's like my
it's
personal.
It's a she shed. Why don't you be honest?
Playground.
I would be using that equipment. There's handbags hanging off my bench press.
Don't even start, buddy.
She has got it stacked to the moon with crap.
It was perfectly a gym for at least 2 years.
And it got used.
And then I put stuff in there because it wasn't being used.
See that? She's lying.
Anyways,
she's an organized hoarder.
I am an organized
Part of
hoarder.
Our challenge right now, Robert's going to come over. He's going to call hoarders. He's going to be on that show with us so that we can, it's a double crossover show where we get rid of your crap.
Oh my God.
So that we can get the gym back and Robert and I can work out.
Okay. So let's let him finish how important strength training is.
Well, I asked that question because you talk about testosterone and you know, there are medical doctors that can help you with that. That can help you. There's certain things where you can naturally raise testosterone. And one of those is strength training. One of those is getting proper rest because, you know, there's lack of rest and sleep deprivation is linked to low T. So there are two things that you could do. So start lifting weights. I mean, again, and it's the consistency when we're talking about all this stuff. It's because if I lift weights now and I don't do it again for 3 weeks, that's right. Nothing. So I asked that because like you talk about like if we're talking about man boobs, I don't think you have
he
man
doesn't.
Boobs. I've seen pictures of you and I'm looking
doesn't.
At a picture of you right now.
He doesn't.
And I thought like when I was asked to do this interview and I looked at the, like, well, Slade wants to talk about himself. He's gained some weight. And I looked at him. I'm like, dude looks pretty athletic.
Yeah, he is.
So, he is. Yeah, he looks like now what happens is, you know, going back to the pandemic 25. Now for you, that might've been the pandemic 10. Or what I say is the pandemic, I just let myself go because I thought that was the only option. And you see like how quickly momentum can change in either direction. If you turn around like, oh my God, 7 months ago, you know, last April, 9 months ago or whatever, at the beginning of this thing, I was like doing pretty well. And, you know, fast forward, like, God, that time went really fast. And I'm just like, I didn't do anything. So the strength training thing, the reason I asked all that things you were talking about, that was a simple question. If I were consulting you, Slade, I'd say, when's the last time you lifted weights?
Yeah, and I haven't lifted weights consistently, but here's what happens. And again, this is why it's important for our listeners to understand, because I think they fall into probably a similar category. When I have the window of time to exercise, my chosen modality is to go ride my bicycle. I raced for almost 10 years competitively. Okay. So that's what I love to do. Now, I'll spend an hour and a half over my handlebars and my upper body and the size of my arms and my upper body. People go, wow, do you lift weights? I'm like, I don't. But guess what? My body weight is suspended for an hour, two. I mean, sometimes I'm 50, 60 miles a day that I can ride on the bike. And so it does fatigue my upper body, my pecs, my back.
But that's the thing. You have such an incredible physique. Like when you really look at your physique, you are so well built and have a great physique. I think really the area that you have the issue right now is your stomach.
But this is exactly my point though. So I'm telling you that, you know, like most, when there's a window of opportunity to go out and do some exercise, that's what I go do because it's my specialty. I love it. I enjoy it. I come back with that clear mind.
Right.
What's not happening is I need a program for nutrition and I truly need someone to help me get back on track with focusing on an area that is starting to store fat. And I can go out and ride for four hours. Mm-hmm. That's not going to burn. It's not going to burn my middle, It's not going to burn the middle.
Right. Well, here's the thing. I see you right now, see you seated, but I will bet one thing. I'll bet you've got incredible quads.
It's insane.
They're chunky monkeys. Yeah,
No, it's not chunky monkey. He is so, his legs are so strong and so beautiful. And that ass is really good too.
God,
okay.
We're heading down a track, man.
He really has such an incredible physique. It's just really the stomach has been the issue. And what's interesting is I also do think that has to do with age, just in general. Like you start storing more things and things start happening.
But that's why I brought it up. It's an age thing. It's a combination of been more sedentary because of COVID.
Yeah.
Right. I'm running out to doing something that I really like to do, but it doesn't focus on the key point of where my body's starting to store fat.
But really, we have not had good sleep for almost a year and a half now. Like
True.
That has been a huge part of it. Right. Then the nutrition, for sure, we've really struggled. Now, you really do struggle on the nutrition, and you really do have to, like, watch your sugar intake because you like a lot of these extra little
goodies. I watch it very closely as I eat it.
Yeah, yeah, I know you watch it. So it's like, the thing is, we know a lot of things that he needs to do, but I think that it's really about, you know, having your expertise to really come in and fine-tune that, you know what I mean, to really target the area he has.
I have a real, real good suggestion, and I want to make this point for your program, Slade, and make it also for the listeners. You say when you have a chance, you go out and you buy because that's what you. It illustrates exactly what I talked about. Is that's what you like to do and that's what you're good at.
Yep.
Right.
Correct.
So you do that. You're really good at it. Okay. But I will tell you this. And you can probably, at the times when you were really cycling and really at peak levels, you were shredded, totally. Right? You were freaking ripped like a piston. But here's the thing with the heavy cardio and the long cardio. Visualize a marathon runner, a distance runner, or a cyclist. Man, when they're doing their thing, They're
leaning mean. Yep.
They're a friggin' incinerator. You are burning because you are getting that acute energy burn all the time.
My job was to eat, sleep, and ride. I'd literally get up, I'd ride, I'd eat, I'd rest, and then I'd get back up and I'd get to ride in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And then I was racing every weekend and traveling.
But you were dependent on that acute calorie burn, that acute energy burn, that you were dependent on that daily exercise.
And what you mean by that, so the listeners understand, I don't mean to cut you off, but when you say acute calorie burn, there is a burn factor that takes place post-workout. The body continues to burn, right? So that's why they say sometimes if you're able to even work out twice a day for a shorter period of time, work out in the morning, work out in the afternoon, you expend that acute to burn.
Absolutely. You get that. You're tossing another log in that fireplace if you do it twice a day. But here's the thing. I go back to the big four model on how I work. I want to make people the best machine that they can be. Now, I would tell you right off the bat, Slade, because you're an athletic dude, I would say, forget the bike race. I would say forget the bike. I'll rephrase that. I would say use that bike for some 30 to 45 second really high speed intervals and do some interval training instead of going out for an hour and a half. Do it for 10 minutes and take the other part of the time you have and do a comprehensive full body strength training session. For you, I would, again, and I haven't seen you in person, but I'm seeing you now, and what you're telling me, your legs are ripped. So your legs probably pretty good right now. You could do some body weight squats and some things like that, but you'd get your chest and your shoulder, build your arms, your chest, your shoulders, work your core, work your posture, work your big muscle groups, your chest, your back, your arms, your glutes. And I'm going to tell you something. It's just the way it is. Men have an advantage. You got more testosterone and more growth hormone than females do. So when we start building muscle, we start losing weight.
It's so annoying to watch men drop weight like no tomorrow, where women like try for like years and they can't get the stuff off of them. I know.
Well, but that's not to say too. It's really important for women. Look, you can still train and build muscle. And you need to do it for optimal weight control, because if you're not strength training, you're just not gonna
burn
as much energy.
At the very beginning, you said muscle dictates metabolism. And like, that's what people have to remember. Like, look, you guys, if you want your metabolism to be on fire and be that wood burning furnace that we just talked about, you have to have that muscle in place. So even if you don't like working out or if you don't like doing the weights, think of it from that point of view.
Yeah, think of that point of view, because what you're doing is you're setting your body, your machine, you're setting the thermostat higher. Because again, I think I told you during this interview, my strength workouts are maybe 15, 20 minutes, 10 minutes, sometimes it depends on what I have time for, but I get right to it and I maintain my muscle mass. So I don't need a bunch of cardio. I rarely do cardio, quite honestly.
Oh, see?
I do it for my heart.
Yep.
But when I circuit train, I get cardio too. when I run up and down the steps and do an interval or whatever, I get that. So I'm going back to, like, you want to hone your body to be the best machine that you can be. And I call it instead of worrying about or thinking about how many calories I burn on the treadmill, those acute calories, think about the chronic energy that I'm burning as a result of what I do. So that's where I would, and I don't want to complicate this too much for people, but it's sort of like your strength training is your friend when it comes to weight loss.
I love that. And you know what?
And one more important thing too, with, like, I talked about insulin before. Uh-huh. When you build muscle, you're creating more what's called insulin sensitivity.
Okay.
Which makes your body process insulin more. You're burning more fat just as a result of what you do. I just want to mention that really quick. So anyway.
So no, I think that's so great because, I mean, a lot of people have always asked me over the years, like, what I do to work out or whatever. And people are like, do you just run for miles at a time? And I'm like, no. Mm-hmm. Like, I've never been a big cardio girl either. Like, I do it every now and again, just like you're saying, for heart health and whatnot. But, like, I really, what I mainly do is strength training. And that doesn't always have to include weights. And I say that because I don't want people to have an excuse of, like, oh, I don't have weights or I don't have this. It's like, literally get on the floor, use your body weight. As I said, there's so many apps out there. There's so many things that you can do with your own body weight. If you have weights, even better. But don't not do something. You know, you can really do a lot with your own body weight. And, you know, I did a bar exercise app thing the other day on my kitchen counter.
There you go.
Out of my kitchen. So, like, there's no excuses not to, you know, use the things that are around you. But as far as Slay goes, so really just he needs to focus on strength training. And actually, in fairness to him, it was so cute because he got this, like, posture thing for his back. That pull his shoulders back because he's on the bike all the time and he's, like, bent over.
Yeah, yeah.
So he just got this posture thing for his back. Yeah, he's like that all the time. Mm-hmm. And so he's got that. And so, and I think that the strength training will be really, really good for you, babe. But do you think that's what's going to help him with this midsection is the strength training?
Well, from an exercise perspective, yes. Okay. But, you know, there's the nutrition. Yeah. You know, you gotta think about that plate structure model. Start to structure your meals like that, and get rid of the sugar, dude. You gotta get rid of the sugar. Yeah. You just got to, unless it's fruit. You gotta pull back on it because that's gonna it's not gonna do anything for your weight control. And then the sleep thing. Look, you guys have a young child, and that's always a challenge. I remember those days well, and it's hard. But you know, here's the thing with that. You guys are a tag team. You're a couple. Yeah. When one of you's taking a nap or the baby's taking a nap, the other one could be doing their thing, taking care of what they need to do for themselves, and then vice versa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta kind of work as a team in that. And people out there listening, look, you know, cause some there's single parents that don't have that help. I mean, I get that. I'm not saying this is not a challenge because it is, but you gotta find a way to get it done. Look, in your work, in your business, in your life, you've got a project thing outside, you know, if it's church or whatever, you do whatever you need to do to accomplish it. You make the arrangements and you get it done. You have to prioritize yourself. And in this regard, you know, I'll tell this to you, and Robin McGraw has said this for years, it is not selfish to take care of yourself.
Amen.
It's actually selfish not to take care of yourself because in order for everybody that's dependent on you, you need to be at your peak levels or you're not going to be able to handle it.
Yeah. So true.
Well,
and so look, make it happen. And you don't need 4 hours to go to a gym, park and do the whole thing there. Get yourself situated at home. This pandemic has basically transferred their gyms are still going. Yeah. Gyms are hanging on and they will, but home fitness is
exploding, it's
like,
isn't it?
I skyrocketed would be like an understatement. Yeah. And my training is most of it's virtual.
Mm, that's great.
Just like I'm doing right now. I'm talking to people and working with people, consulting with people right here. Yeah. And that's where a lot of training is. It's big. It's something that I always did, but it's dominated my training and my nutrition consulting business is virtual. So get yourself some guidance, but you got to make it happen.
Yeah.
You got to make it happen. Again, think about what I said before. Don't think about what you can't do. Think about what you can do.
Yeah. No,
that's simple.
It's so true.
Well, so what we should probably do is I should speak with you briefly offline, put together a little program, right, for me to start following. Mm-hmm. We should post that socially so people can kind of follow along to this program. And then I would love to have you come and do a check-in with me. I'd love to have that conversation with you and share our progress and kind of what we're doing to get ourselves out of this COVID-25 and back on track to being healthy, fit, and optimal.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah. And it's really important for people to know, like for you, for example, Slade, look, you're not where you want to be right now. And what you do supports where you are. So the first thing I would ask you as a client, or if I'm working with you, I'll say, okay, I would say, where are you? I would assess where you are now. What's your weight? What's your waist? Do different measurements on you, clothing sizes, how you feel, what you're lacking, what you want to accomplish. And ask you what you're doing to support that, which it sounds like not much.
That's correct.
Right? Right now, you're just not doing much. And it's supporting where you are right now, which is where you don't want to be. Then I would take that information and say, well, look, here's what you need to do. And for Slade, so what we've talked about so far, number one, definitely you're an athletic dude. I would get back into a comprehensive strength training immediately today. And when I talk about comprehensive strength training, I talk about there's basically four very simple pillars of movement for human movement in terms of strength training. We push, i.e. chest press, push up, whatever. We pull, i.e. row, lat pull down, whatever. We press, which is like a squat or a lunge or a leg press, or just again, getting up and down out of a chair. And we rotate. The only thing that separates any of us from anything, whether it's an elite athlete or a very, very bare beginner, is the volume of work done, the amount of resistance done, and that's pretty much it. So I would say, for example, Slade, go out today, knock out 4 to 5 sets of 15 reps in a basic push-up. Go grab a free weight or some tubing or whatever and knock out 4 to 5 sets of a row exercise, a pulling motion. Okay. And again, it could be free weight, it could be tubing. You know, you can go out if you got a brick out in the backyard, you can take a brick and just, you know, do a row with a brick. And then I would say, go do some bicep work, do some tricep work, maybe some chair dips or whatever, do some planks or whatever. Again, all these core exercises that you can do. And for right now, maybe just some basic body weight squats, just to continue to hone those legs, because your biggest muscle groups are in your legs. So you definitely want to hone your legs, which again, puts you at a huge advantage. And I will tell you this, if you do that and you do that plate structure model that I started to talk about, and if you can get a 10% improvement on your sleep, you'll come back in 4 to 5 weeks and you'll be a different dude.
I love that. Okay. Yeah. We're going to do it, honey.
Yeah, I love it.
Were you paying attention?
I was totally paying attention. Because I was just quiet for a minute because I wanted you to really take it in.
Because he says I have to improve my sleep by 10%.
Okay. You know what I want?
And I get to schedule time to like go work out.
Okay. You know what though? I really like, I want you to try some of it with me because I think you'd be surprised how much just even this app that I'm doing, how much of that exactly what he just said is in that.
Okay.
Yep.
I think you'd be surprised. Yep. So when sky goes down, let's just commit to you and me together to like do that together at that time.
And would it be really weird that I want to actually take a photograph wearing dolphin shorts to send it to him to show our progress? Is that weird?
I don't even...
look, back in the 80s when I was teaching aerobics, I sported those.
It was all about the dolphin shorts. I'm doing a throwback for you, right?
Oh, man, I love it.
Robert, please tell everyone where they can find you. You and I are going to continue to talk, and then we would love to have you come back and do a check-in and talk about my progress.
Okay, cool. I have Instagram. I'm at Robert's Wellness Revolution. And I post a lot on there now. I mean, Instagram has just been, I've just fallen in love with Instagram. Like I said, I wasn't really on it before. And now I'm on there every day. Robert's Wellness Revolution on Instagram. The Robert Reams Wellness Revolution on Facebook. And that's just www.facebook.com/Robert Reams Live. I've got podcasts. I've got all kinds of stuff. I've got a website, robertreams.net, Twitter, at Robert Reams. I'm pretty easy to find these days. So that's where folks can reach me. You can direct message me. And like I said, I'm pretty easy to find. And I usually try to address anything that folks send to me.
That's nice of you.
Unless it's crazy.
Yeah, I know, awesome. Right? No, that's so nice of you. I just followed you. Yeah. I'm so excited for, like you said, these meal things do really well for me too. I call it my Gretchen Christine cuisine segment. And they do, people just love it. So you guys definitely go check out his social media accounts. Robert, we can't say thank you enough for your time to not only help us, but to help our listeners. And you guys, everyone out there that's listening, just do it, right? The Nike, you know, the just Nike swoosh, do it. Baby. Let's go for it, you guys.
Which is also welcome to be a sponsor on our show.
Yeah, exactly. Robert, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate you today.
Ladies and gentlemen, Robert Reams.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Everybody, just keep your head in the game.
Amen.
Keep your head in the game. How good was that?
Are you excited?
I feel fitter already.
Do you feel skinnier?
Totally.
Do you feel like a weight's been lifted off you? Ba-ba-ba. Wait, where's the button for that?
Wait.
No, that wasn't it.
Yeah, I thought that's not the right button.
I gotta
get these buttons worked out.
Definitely.
Wait a minute. I'm surrounded by princesses.
Yeah. Right? No, that could work for a weight lifted off.
But you kind of wanted like...
No, that's not what I wanted.
You didn't want that one?
This is not working out.
Do I have a tap thing?
I don't know. I thought we had one. No, that's the creepy sound. Okay, so, babe. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Okay, so here's the thing. For real, I need you to stop it.
What?
Stop.
You're going to lay something down right now.
I need you to commit public, really?
Can you say that again three times? Go ahead. Do it again.
I need you to commit. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm going to literally murder you right now.
Don't kill me.
Everybody, Slade's funeral is being planned right as we speak. Okay. No, really. I need you to commit, Bookie.
Yes.
To strength training.
Okay.
Will you do that?
Yes.
Okay. So what have I been doing every day?
Strength training.
Right? You see me put my mat down. I bring my little weights in. I do my app, right?
Yes, dear.
Okay. So, and I don't care when you do it, but just promise me, even if it's 10 minutes, will you do 10 minutes a day? Say yes.
Yes, I will do 10 minutes a day.
Okay.
But you have to help me.
I will. I will totally help you.
You say that, and then you get busy and you don't help me.
Baby, listen. Here's the thing. The only reason that I just go do my thing is because I know if I don't just go do it, then we'll find 9,000 other excuses. So do you want me?
But that's the point.
But hold on. Do you want me to push you to come do the workout like with me when I'm doing it?
If that's physically possible for us because of our child and the other things we're doing, yeah.
Okay. But I'm obviously figuring out it's only like 20 minutes a day for me. So you can do it. I believe in
Gretchen Christine.
I believe in you. Okay. So. There's that. Now, let's talk about what the question of the day is for our peeps.
Well, that's obvious what the question of the day is.
What?
Are you going to get off your fat COVID 2019 ass and actually take some action to get back in shape?
That's not all of our listeners, so you can't say that.
That's the question of the day. If you were affected at all by this conversation, they should follow you. They should tweet me. I'll never tweet you back. I've been kicked off social.
No, but, you haven't.
Excuse me. Bad health. Is that the cigar?
Yeah, that's probably the cigar.
I really think that I should post this on social, though. I think we should start. This is the commitment. This is the public commitment. I have a photo of myself.
You're going to post a photo, a before photo?
Before and after.
You're a liar.
Do you challenge me? Do you dare me? No, I'll give them the before photo.
No, I'm not letting you do that because the media will be mean. So we're not playing that game.
Let them be mean.
No, I don't like that.
Come on. I'm going to get in shape.
No, but that's mean. I don't like it. They're just jerky pants. So we're not doing that. But here's the thing.
So the listeners know I offered it up. I was willing to go the extra mile and show you my fat belly.
Okay, you guys, listen. Here's the question of the day, I think. I think you should question yourself and say, I loved when he said, find something you dislike the least. Like, meaning if you hate exercising, if you hate doing things, at least find something you dislike the least and start doing that. I don't care if that's walking for, 10 minutes a day. Do something.
I didn't know what he meant by that. So I'm glad you broke that down.
Oh my gosh. Really? Because
when he said, find something you dislike the least.
Yeah.
So I thought okay, well, I hate sit-ups. So because I like that the least, and he said I only have to work out for 15 seconds, I'll do that one.
Oh my God, no. What he was saying was that if you hate exercise in general, and you hate all of it, find one thing that you dislike the least out of all those things you hate and start with that.
Thank God you were here to interpret when smart people talk to me.
Oh my God.
I love you so much.
Oh my God. Okay, you guys, we love you. We hope this episode helped you. Be sure to tune back in on Little Slade's excursion of trying to get in shape. Me too. I'm on the same thing. I mean, I've been doing much better lately, but me too. Be sure to download, subscribe. We love you guys. Thanks for listening, tuning in. We'll talk with you soon.
This podcast has been produced by Stage 29 Productions for entertainment purposes only. The contents of this podcast do not constitute medical or professional advice. Do not reflect the opinions of this company, any of its parent companies, affiliates, subsidiaries, promotional sponsors, or advertising agencies. The views expressed by the hosts and guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. For more information, please visit stage29.tv.